This new year, I can't think of a better place to be than the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be in God's house, especially on special days. This is the first day, and some time ago, I read about how you know it's going to be a bad day. You know, you wake up some mornings, you think it's just going to be a bad day. And I was reading some things, and someone said, you know, it's going to be a bad day. This is for young people. You know, it's going to be a bad day when you wake up in the morning and your braces have locked together some way. It's going to be a pretty bad day, isn't it? Someone says, you know, it's going to be a bad day when you wake up face down on the sidewalk. And that's going to be a rough day. But I think my favorite is, you know, it's going to be a bad day when you're riding behind 30 Hell's Angels and your horn gets stuck. You know? So I hope that you have a good day on this first day of this new year. I'm not a super big. I've done New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals before, and I do have some goals for this year. I've always said if you don't have any goals, you'll be sure to meet it. And so I do have some goals, but I read something that just spoke to me about setting some goals or some resolutions. First of all, they said set right priorities, including making time for yourself. I think that's a lot of truth to that we get so busy and so focused that we don't have time for ourselves. My good friend, Dr. Dennis Reed, he's not practicing here. He's retired now, but we're still in contact with each other. But he would always say, Brother Rick, be sure to take time to smell the roses. Take time for yourself. And then some, not just taking those priorities, but eat wisely. Now, this is something that we struggle with, isn't it? And they say that if it didn't come out of the ground or from a mother, don't put it in your mouth. And so that eliminates a lot of things for me. We're going to start back this Tuesday on some of the things that we have done. And I had Debbie, we had a cake mix, and I said, fix that cake. And I said, fix it. It's a spice cake. I said, fix the cake. And she said, you want me to make the cake? I said, make it, yes. And she said, well, we're starting on this thing between on Monday. I said, yeah, that gives me a night and a day and a half to get on this thing, you know. So I want to try. I don't know about you, but you can have great confidence. I'm going to succeed in this thing. And I said, when you bring me a piece with a big glass of milk or a cup of coffee. And but eat wisely. Then they say exercise. This is crucial. The Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit some. And then they said, you know, address your mental health. Try to de-stress. Try to do things that will free your mind. And then have fun. Smell the roses. Now, the Bible says in our text, it uses the word blessed, or some pastors say blessed. I use both ways. But we would not be wrong to substitute the word happy for the word blessed. We could say blessed. Blessed is he, or happy is he, whose sin, or whose transgression is forgiven. And when we say Happy New Year's, many will say, how can we be happy in the days that we're living in? We're living in some turbulence days. I mean, we can't trust many. We don't trust China. We don't trust Russia. We see the war taking place in the Ukraine and what's taking place there. And there's so many other things that we really are blind and ignorant to. If we would to know some of those things, we would struggle sleeping at night. So how can we be happy? All my life, I've always heard Happy New Year. It's a wish for you to have a great year. And I do. I want to wish each of you Happy New Year. I hope this year is greater than last year. I hope this year is going to be profitable. I hope that you grow in the Lord this year. I hope it's a great year. I hope some of the bumps and the heartaches and the dark places that you struggled in this year, you'll not see any longer this coming year. And but there are some things that I believe, and these are not profound. I think they're very elementary. But there are some things that will shape up our year to be a happy new year. And let me just tell you three. There's more than three, but I think these three will meet needs today. First of all, let me suggest to you, it'll be a happy new year if Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He tells us in verse 1 of Psalm 32, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I'm so glad today my sins are covered. Every one of them. Every terrible thought I ever had, every terrible word I ever said, every terrible deed I ever done has been under the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you get over it. Don't ever stray far from the foot of the cross. I mean, it's at the foot of the cross where our sins are paid for. His precious blood was shed there. Forgiven. Our slate is clean. We are justified just as if we've never sinned. He looks at us, and no longer do we have to call him just God Almighty, although he is God Almighty. He is God Jehovah. He is God Jehovah. But today we can say Abba Father. We have that wonderful relationship. Jesus removes all the sins. And not only does he remove the sins, but he removes the stains of those sins. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, we read, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You've heard me talk about one of my favorite dogs. He was a white German shepherd. His name was Ninja. And I'm quite sure he had more of an IQ than some deacons that I've had over the years. I mean, he was none of our deacons here. I don't get myself in trouble. But no, none of our deacons here. But he was just a wonderful dog. And I took him to the sheriff's department and I trained him there. And he was a white ninja. And he would attack if I asked him to, but he was gentle and kind and loving, and he was white, and I would wash him. And sometimes I'd go down to the river. He loved the fetch, and I'd throw a stick out in the middle of the river. Remember that, Joy Bell? And he would swim out there and bring that stick, and I kept doing it, and Joy Bell, I think she was 7, she says, "Daddy, I'm afraid he's going to drown." He would have just kept on doing it. We'd have a church softball game, and Ninja would be a fielder out there for us. No kidding. He'd grab the softball and run it in, his tail just spinning. And I would wash that dog, and then I'd put him back in my pickup truck, and I would blow dry him. I would speed down the highway and come back, and he was white and fluffy, was just beautiful. And one day, which was very uncommon for us, we got a heavy snow, I think about 12 or 14 inches. And I was much younger then. And I got all the kids, everybody get dressed up. We're going out. We're going to make snowmen. We're going to make snow angels. We're going to have a snowball fight. That's when Debbie went in the house. And we were out there, and we were having a good time. Ninja was running around, and we were having fun with him. And I noticed something that day. I noticed in comparison to the snow, Ninja was yellow. He was not white. He was bright white, all that I knew him. Now, if you're from the country, he was yeller, okay? But I want you to see that when the Bible makes the comparison, it compares white as snow. It's hard to imagine that. I'm glad God wrote it down for me. I'm glad to know that not only are my sins covered and forgiven, but I've been white. I've been washed white as snow. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done, God loves you today, and he'll save your soul right where you're at, and he too will forgive your sins. There's been some places that I've gone that have been some bad places. I've been into prisons that I willfully have gone in and willfully have walked out. I haven't been a prisoner there, but I've gone in there, and I've had prisoners sit there, and they said, "I've done things, preacher, you wouldn't believe." And I've told him it doesn't matter. The grace of God goes deeper than our stain. Amen? And we see here that our happiness isn't dependent upon our circumstances. Our happiness is not dependent upon our situation. It is based upon a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am happy with him. I know he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And in difficult times, in hard times, and as you know, I have faced some difficult times lately. I could see him. I could feel him looking down upon me, his child. And I could sense his embrace around me. And I could see his smile. And I knew he was with me. And he was there to protect me. It's wonderful to have that. The world doesn't have that. The world tries to fill that emptiness with alcohol. The world tries to fill that emptiness with drugs. The world tries to fill that emptiness with prosperity and the beach house or the cabin down on the river and the boat. The world tries to fill that. But listen, they'll never be filled. They'll never satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. Now, can you remember the happiness that flooded your soul when you first accepted him? I was 11 years old, and I tell you, the day I got saved that morning, I was the biggest sinner in the church. Now, I had gotten into a whole lot of mischief at 11. My mother was a helicopter mother. She hovered over me, and she knew just about every place I'd go and everywhere I went. And back then, life was different. If you did something 10 blocks over, the people came out of the house, they whipped you. Then they called your mama when you got home, and your mama whipped you too. Things were different back then. But understand this. We can have our sins forgiven. 2023 will be happy if Jesus Christ is our Savior. And then let me make this and make it clear. Not just our Savior, but our Lord. You see, we can be saved, but still, he is not on the throne. We can be saved, and he's not our Lord. He's our Savior, but he's not preeminent in our life. And there's so many times I see some of our church people make the wrong decisions. They're betwixt two. And when it comes to something that they're confronted with, and I'm not talking about sin here. I'm talking about it could be family. It could be a party. It could be a ball game. It could be any kind of situation. They choose that instead of choosing the Lord. The Lord should be Lord of your life. And when he's Lord of your life, friend, you'll have a happy new year. Let me say, secondly, it could be a happy new year if we're serving God. Find a place. If you're born again, find a place and serve God. You know what I found out? It doesn't matter how old you get or how crippled you become, God wants you in his army. And the Bible tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier. We teach the kids, I don't remember it completely. I may never march in the infantry, fly over the enemy, shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army, praise God. And we teach our kids that in children's church and things like that. But understand this, the Bible says in Psalm 65, verse 4, there's the word again, blessed, happy is the man whom thou chosest. And look what he says, and calls us to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. We will not be happy unless we're serving the Lord, giving our lives. He needs to be our Savior. He needs to be over our life, the Lord of our life. But we need to be about serving him. Do you know God wants you to serve him? Now, I hope that you're not like I was when I was young and younger, and especially when I went to Bible college. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was so dumb, I thought concordance was the last book in the Bible. I was so dumb, I thought the epistles were the apostles' wives. Man, I was really dumb. I'd open the Bible to the book of Job and turn over to Palms. And, you know, I had to be taught a lot of things. And I'm at Bible college with all these MKs, missionary kids, and all these preacher's kids. I'm in classes like Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, and the Bible's come alive to me. And I'd say, wow, isn't that great? And they look at me, yeah, I knew that when I was four, you know. And I'm just telling the truth. And there were people that were there, and they played the trombone, boom, 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 boom. They played the trumpet, you know. They played instruments, and boy, they'd beat up on a piano. They'd get done, man, the piano was smoking, let me tell you. They had tore that thing up. They had all this talent. They had all this ability. And I looked at myself, and I thought, man, there's no place for me. But you know what? God makes a place for you. You ought to serve him. And we'll not be happy unless we're living our lives for the Lord. Now listen to me. The devil will never tell you to live your life for him. He'll say, live for yourself. He won't ever say, get on your knees and worship me. He'll say, do your own thing. You listening to me? Some of you young people that are hearing that, let me tell you something. If you live for yourself, you're going to come up short. If you put God first, you won't ever come up short. I mean, you may not see it at first, but the blessings pour out. Am I telling the truth? They pour out. God meets the needs. I mean, you can't believe it. I mean, you'll have more than you've ever had. You'll be happier than you've ever been. You'll be rejoicing all the time. Somebody want to know what kind of drug are you taking? What kind of pills are you on? You're on the gospel. That's what you're on. God, I got a little preaching in me this morning. And God has chosen us to be His servants. I can't think of a better thing than to be a servant of the Lord. I was 16 years old and God began to deal with me about preaching. And I said, oh God, you've got the wrong guy. Oh God, you know, I was like Moses, you know, I don't speak too well. I didn't have a brother Aaron, but if I had, I'd point him to him. And God said, no, you're the one. And when I surrendered, I knew I needed to start serving the Lord. And at 17 years old, I started driving my car up downtown Memphis and go to the VA hospital. And I go door to door at 17 and pass out gospel tracts and look at some of these people, some of our warriors, some of our military who lost legs in Vietnam. That's the era I'm talking about. Who had terrible experiences, some who were could not walk. They were crippled, and I would go in there, and I'd sit with them and talk to them about the love of God. Now, I was no training, and my zeal was great, but my training was poor, and I ran into some problems. But I learned this: no matter who you are, what you are, if you're a child of God, God wants you to serve Him. I was in there one day, and I'd had some misfortune with some of those old salty military fellas. Who's this 17-year-old kid coming in here telling us about going to hell? And they were very rough with me, and I had left out of the room. And I went into the bathroom stall, 17 years old. I went in the bathroom stall, and I locked the door, and I wept in there. And I said, who am I? But that burning inside to do something with God was there. And I said, I'm done with this. And I started marching out. I came out of that bathroom stall, and I came out of that bathroom, and I was marching down. And I looked, and I saw a guy in there, and he had this chain over him with this triangle deal. And he put his arm in there and kind of pulled himself up. He had a broken neck and could not walk. And I saw this beautiful Spanish lady who was there by him, and I walked past him, and I the Lord spoke to my heart, go in there and talk with him. And I said, oh, I don't know about that. That wasn't too good, that last meeting I went in. And you know, in the VA hospital, they don't have private rooms. They just have wards. So all those guys can pile up on you at one time in there. And I said, I don't know, and the Lord told me to go back, so I walked back by there, and I took a peek in there again, and I was nervous, and I went past that, 17 years old, and I came back by, and I finally just turned in there, and I said, hi, my name's Rick Savage, and he said, well, my name's Tom Fly, and this is my wife, Barbara. I said, well, Tom, I just wanted to come up and visit, want to know if I could pray for you. He said, I sure would like that. I need prayer. I said, Tom, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And he threw his arm in that triangle and pulled himself up. And he says, are you here to tell me how I can go to heaven? I want somebody to lead me. I want somebody to tell me how to go to heaven. And I opened the Bible and I led Tom and Barbara Fly to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Boy, what a blessing that was. You see, it's not anybody special. You don't have to play the trombone. You don't have to play the trumpet. You don't have to set the piano on fire. God will use you. God, listen, and you start with your inner circle. Happiness comes from fulfilling the purpose of our life. The purpose of creation is to glorify God. And once we glorify, how we glorify Him is finding His will and doing it. God has chosen us to live for Him and to be His servants. Now, you may wonder, how can I serve Him? But there's opportunities 24/7 to serve God. I have found so many opportunities to talk. And I was in West Tennessee Rehab Hospital for several days. And when I went there, I couldn't get out of bed. And I had just the most wonderful people. And one of my therapists was Hillary. And I was having a hard day. And I was having this set in my wheelchair in the room. And that's the only chair I had. And she said, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, I sure wish you could find me a recliner. If somebody asks, they want you can do. Don't ask me, Pastor. Can I do something for you? Yeah, I wish you could wax my truck for me. You know, I'll find something for you. Do it for Jesus, amen. And she said, "Well, you know what? It's Thanksgiving weekend, and a lot of the rooms are empty. I'll just steal one for you. I love Hillary." And she brought the recliner and she set it beside the window, and the window would be raised up in the morning. I'd sit in that recliner, and like life had taken on a new plan for me. But understand this. There's another lady, her name was Stephanie, and she was just really a great help to me. And I talked to her about the Lord. And then there's a lady there, her name was Crystal. And Crystal, her husband taught a Sunday school class. And she said, she knew I was a pastor, and I was in there one day, and they had me doing occupational therapy. Now, Ken, you know what they were having me doing? They were having me putting pillows in pillowcases. Now, I hadn't done that since college. And so they got like seven pillows stacked up, and I was having to put these. So I put the pillow underneath. I don't know how you do it, but I put it underneath my chin, and I put it in there. And I said, somebody made these pillowcases smaller than these pillows. But I got her done, let me tell you. And there's a guy, Steve, and he looked much older than me, but he was a year younger than me, actually. And they were making him sort socks, God bless his heart. And he's in there sorting socks and rolling them up, and he's having tears coming down his face. And I saw him there, and I went over to him, and I see he's on the same table that I'm putting pillowcases together in. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Steve." I said, "Steve, my name's Rick." I said, "You having a hard day?" And big tears started coming down his face. He's wearing a big construction shirt, like, you know, Joe's Construction Church. You can imagine what kind of business that was. And you could tell this beard, he's a rough-looking, tough-looking guy, like some of you. And here he is, big tears are coming down. I said, "Steve, you having a hard day?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Would you mind if I just came over and just prayed with you?" He said, "I would like that." And I went over and I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "Lord." And this therapist came over and put her hand on my shoulder. She said, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Steve's having a hard day, and I just think I should pray for him." She said, "Well, not without me being a part of it." And we all prayed for him. And then from that time on, I was able to pray with several there. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing. You know, happiness comes from knowing the Lord as our Savior and understanding the purpose of creation and doing his will. That's where you'll have a happy new year. If you live it for yourself, if you try to do it for yourself, if you try to do it for your family, you're going to miss out. We can have a happy new year if we will get involved serving God. Find something to do for Jesus. I mean, find something that could be yours. Find something that makes a difference. And if you're not here, it's not going to be done. I mean, that's when you're valuable. Listen, if your absence doesn't count, neither does your presence. Find something to do for God. That means that we should get involved helping others and ministering to others, doing the work of God. Well, I think we can have a happy new year if Jesus is our Savior and Lord, if we're serving him. And then lastly, I think we'll have a happy new year if we're looking for his return. Now, he tells us in Psalm 32:1, blessed is he, happy is he. And he tells us in Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. But in Luke 12:37, he says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. You looky here. He's coming again, and he's coming soon. I believe it. Someone said that we ought to live our lives, that Jesus died on the cross yesterday, was resurrected this morning, and he's coming this evening. That's the way we should live our lives. You see, the danger of our lives is that we get so preoccupied We get so busy, we get so focused with life, and not necessarily wrong. I mean, we have mortgages, we have children, we have grandchildren, we have bills, we have vocations, we have things that are demanding of us. But sometimes we can get so focused on that that we miss the point that Jesus is all about Him. You see, this is what they did in the land of Canaan, and they begin to focus on giants, and they begin to focus on the walls, the great cities that were walled, and they took their eyes off of their God. The result was that they forgot the promise, and it was the promised land. Now, while we need to serve Christ with our lives here on this earth, one day Jesus will come again, and He's going to take us home. Now, listen. You believe He's coming, say amen. He's coming. And when He comes, every unjust thing that's ever happened to your life will not matter. When He comes, we'll be glorified. We'll see Him face to face, and we shall be as He is. When we were saved, we were justified just as if we never sinned. Now that we are justified, we are sanctified, we are being transformed into His likeness. And on that day when He comes, the Bible says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. But He tells us that in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, the Lord will return. And when that happens, the dead in Christ will rise. And those of us who are alive in Christ will be caught up. We use the word rapture. We'll be caught up to be with Him in the clouds. I believe that that will begin the marriage feast for us after a judgment. Not a condemnation of sin, but a judgment. And I believe that'll start the tribulation period here on this earth for the next 7 years. Now understand this. While we need to serve Christ with our lives here on this earth, we need to understand He's coming and we've got a bright future. There's nothing that any politician can do to dampen our future. Our Father is God Almighty. He's our Heavenly Father. One day Jesus will come. He'll take us home. We will be happy if we never forget, and if we look and we're watching and we're waiting for His coming. 2023 could be the year. It could be the year. Now, how can 2023 be a happy new year? Accept the gift of salvation. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Set the Lord on the throne, on His throne over your life, and live for Him. Serve Him with your life. Put Him first. Let Him be a priority. Make use of every opportunity to minister to Him. I always like the word joy. The acrostic of joy is J, Jesus is first. O, others are second. And Y, yourself is last. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. I think if we do these things, and there's a few other things too we could do, I think it's going to be a happy new year. Oh, if you would come today. Wouldn't that be something? I told Debbie not long ago, with everything that's taking place in this world, I told Debbie, man, I believe Jesus is coming soon. Wouldn't it be wonderful to bypass the ICU? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have to be able to bypass all that stuff and just be caught up to be with Him? Now let me ask you, have you been genuinely saved? Has there been a time in your life that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That you've cried out to Him? I asked one man this one time, have you ever cried out and asked God to forgive you for your sins? He said, yeah, I do it every night. We don't have to do it every night. But has there been a spiritual awakening in your life where you know Jesus forgave you of your sins, saved your soul, and wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know heaven's your home? If not, you need to do that today. If you're here and you're a born-again, blood-washed child of God, hallelujah, your sins are covered, your transgressions are forgiven, but is Christ Lord of your life? Is He Lord of your life? Are you serving Him? Is He first? Does He have preeminence in your life? And are you looking daily for His return? I remember being a little boy, and I loved my dad. My dad was a Marine. He was very sharp. And It's something in the savages. We've just been shooting. I got my first gun when I was five. It was a Marlin 39A lever action rifle. Love that gun. And my dad, when I was five, he was trying to get me to shoot the ends of trees off and was frustrated when I couldn't do it, you know. He was quite the marksman. He was a master marksman, expert, rifleman and pistolman. And he was going one day. He had a Colt Peacemaker. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Wouldn't you love to have one of those today? He had a Colt Peacemaker. He had oiled it, and I had that gun oil. See, you like gun oil? Yeah, I put a little bit behind my ears every time I leave the house. I like gun oil. I'm a gun enthusiast. And my dad had his Colt Peacemaker in a holster. It had it leathered. It had it tied down. And had the belt wrapped around it. It was on the coffee table. And I said, "Daddy, where are you going?" I think I was probably six or seven. I said, "Daddy, are you going somewhere?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to go with Kenny. And we're going to go shoot." And I said, "Daddy, please. Please let me go with you." He said, no, this is not a place for kids. I said, "Daddy, please let me go with you." And he said, no, you can't go. And he got his pistol. I remember, picked it up, and he walked out of the door. And I stood there at that door till my daddy came back. I did. My mother was very upset that he didn't take me. She said, "I want you to know your son stood at that door for 2 hours till you came back. I want you to know I'm standing at the door till my father comes back. He's coming back. You better mark it down, and you better be ready. Get right or you get left." Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you for this wonderful audience of people. They've listened so well. I thank you for our visitors. What a blessing they are. But Lord, I pray that we'll take these three simple elementary steps to have a happy new year. Work in our lives. Save the lost. I think of those who are watching live stream. They could be in Jackson or they could be in Sydney, Australia. But Lord, wherever they are, you can save them, and you want to save them. Save the lost. And then Lord, I pray that you would help those of us who are saved. May you be the Lord of our life. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha and the Omega. But we have to surrender that part of our life to let you sit on the throne in our life, that you would have preeminence. Lord, may we serve you with joy. And Lord, may we look for you to return. Help us to stand at the door until our Father returns. Bless. In thy name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here this morning. Listen to me carefully. I'd never come to you or approach you or speak to you, but I do want to pray for you if you allow me. If you're here this morning and you say, "I am born again, blood washed. I know there's been a time I've had a spiritual awakening, and I know I'm going to heaven if I die," would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know that without a shadow of doubt. What a wonderful sight to see this morning. Put your hands down. If you're here this morning, you say, "I really have some doubts. I struggle about my salvation. I've been in church. I've even been baptized. But when it comes down to it, I'm not sure heaven's my home." Would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand right up and right back down? Let me pray for you. I just want to lift you up before the Lord and ask God to help you. Anyone like that? Just raise it up high. Anyone at all? Okay. Wonderful. And thankful for that. That's wonderful. Now, those of you who raised your hand and say, "I've been saved," let me ask you something. Does God get the preeminence? Is he the Father? Is he the Lord on your throne? Or do you live your life? Can I tell you this? It's the Lord's day. It's not your day. You ought to be in church. You ought to gather together when the church gathers together, regardless of what's going on. It's the Lord's day. It's not your day. And are there areas in your life that you just do your thing? And if the Lord was sitting across from you drinking a cup of coffee with you, you would not make those decisions. You know that. But I want you to know, he's forever watching, and he knows everything about us. How many this morning said, "Pastor, I raised my hand, said I was saved, but there is some issues in my life about lordship, about letting God have his complete way over my life. Would you pray for me?" Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see you. God bless you. Yes, many, many, many folks here. God bless you. Thank you for your transparency. I want to pray for you just in a moment. Hey, listen, folks. Watch at the door for your Father to return. He says, blessed are those servants when he cometh shall find watching. Lord, we have some business to do with you. May we use the altar. Thank you for your goodness. I pray for these good people. I know I've preached to probably some of the finest people any pastor could preach to. But it doesn't mean that we don't have issues, spiritual issues that we need to keep shortcuts and take care of. And I pray that will happen this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God's spoken to your heart, when the music begins, we invite you to come and deal with God and make it personal and make it last. You come now.